5%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Violent crime on the rise in the United States. Chris Barnes has a report.
Figures just released by the FBI showing violent crime rising 4.1% in 2016. There was a nearly 4% hike in 2015. Murders increased 8.6% last year, and it's the first time that a two-year increase has been logged in over a decade. The Trump administration warning about a dangerous rise in violent crime, often fueled by violent gangs. I'm Chris Barnes.
Former Utah Governor John Huntsman is on his way to becoming the U.S. representative to Russia. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee unanimously approved Huntsman's nomination to be the U.S. ambassador to Russia. The vote now advances the nomination to the full Senate for confirmation. Committee Chairman Bob Corker called Huntsman's appearance before the committee earlier this month outstanding. The Tennessee Republican senator says he's looking forward to Huntsman, who's also a Republican, being in Moscow on behalf of the United States. USA Radio News.
Is it possible there exists an ancient master blueprint that holds the secret behind the events of our times? From Jonathan Kahn, best-selling author of The Harbinger and The Book of Mysteries, comes The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. In his most explosive book yet, Kahn reveals the stunning master blueprint that is unfolding before our eyes. You'll never see the world the same way again. Read The Paradigm, available wherever fine books are sold.
A Phoenix area couple learning the hard way about the dangers of lighting a barbecue inside a building. Here's Jason Campidonia.
A man lit a barbecue in his first floor apartment overnight, and fire crews got a call after he passed out around 5 o'clock this morning. Moments later, another fire crew was sent to the same complex for a woman having a seizure. The family was trying to use the grill for warmth, and the adults got sick from the carbon monoxide. An infant and a toddler were also in the apartment, but they appear to be okay. The investigation is ongoing.
A bribery scandal is bringing down some assistant coaches at some of the nation's biggest college basketball programs. Here's Scott Pringle.
Well-known Division I basketball coaches at Auburn, Southern Cal, Arizona, Oklahoma State, reportedly among those charged in this bribery scheme, they allegedly directed players to certain advisors and agents when they made the NBA in exchange for kickbacks. A representative from Adidas has also been named as well in documents. This stems from the FBI doing a two-year investigation into corruption and fraud into college athletics. Scott Pringle, New York.
Is it a crime or is it just a costly mistake? A Florida collector knows several missing dresses worn by 1930s child film star Shirley Temple are in the Kansas City area. Tanya Brevardi-Carnata says that these five missing dresses were sold at a Kansas City auction in 2015 after she was told they were lost in the mail. All but one of the missing dresses have been located, but a white gown from the movie The Little Princess remains unaccounted for. USA Radio News.
Hey, this is Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters and 55 Plus, and we're going to do a little role reversal. I had Vicki Lynn Morgan interview me about 6 or 8 weeks ago, and it went marvelous, and I've asked her to stand by, and I'm going to interview her, and we're going to get into that pretty shortly, and it's going to be a little bit of everything, so sort of a mix of things. First things first, they ask me to do the weather, and before they do that, I'm supposed to hit button 13. So let's hit that and see what happens.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So let's talk about the weather a little bit. This is Joe Peters' theory on life. I'm a fine young Catholic boy who grew up with Jewish kids all his life and have total dated Jewish growth, have a total respect for both religions. And we always said, so that's why I'm leading to this comment, that usually around the Jewish holidays, we have an Indian summer. And it's a great time to go blue fishing or a little tuna running out there so you can catch them both. Didn't get to do it this year, although my grandsons promised me we were going to. We all got busy, which is another good story. But the weather has been unseasonably warm. It has been like August right up through tomorrow. And then I think we're going to see some tailing off. It's 85 right now, hot 85, very little wind. The flag is just sitting there. It's not even blowing in the wind. It's going to be 86 tomorrow, and then it's going to drop down to 75. A little bit of the storm coming up, but the big thing is I guess we've got a front coming in from the west, and that's going to push the storm out to sea. By Saturday, we're going to have a high of 67. So we're getting back to what we can consider normal. I don't think it's going to get cold overnight, but it's getting normal overnight. So that's what's happening. It's clear. It's almost Groundhog Day. Every day you get up, it's sight, it's sunny. We get a little bit of rain, and go on to tomorrow. We're going to go on to press button 50 and see what happens there.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115. See you there.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, it's Joe Peters with Vicki Lynn Morgan, and we're back. So once again, I was saying we're doing a little bit of role reversal. Vicki's on for the hour before I am on, and then I'm on from 4 to 5 every Tuesday, and we talk about things that are important to the 55-plus group, which I'm firmly entrenched in. And we also talk about real estate matters. Sometimes they cross over, and we can't tell which is which, and other times we don't even know what we're talking about as far as subject matter. We just follow our instinct, and that's going to be one of these shows. Vicki is a guerrilla marketing expert, and I have probably all my credits in marketing, did not graduate with a marketing degree, but it's always fascinating to me. I started out as an accounting major, fell asleep in every class I took, and I said, there's got to be a better way. Went over to marketing, and marketing was fun, and I've done marketing all my life, but I'm a real estate salesperson, and prior to that, I was a technology salesperson. So, Vicki Lynn, how did you get started? How did you get into guerrilla marketing?
Well, I decided a while ago that I was actually a born guerrilla marketer, and I'll tell you why. Back when I was about, oh, let's say 7 or 8 years old, my father made a wagon, and we put a child's table on that wagon, and I used to pull it around the neighborhood selling lemonade and Kool-Aid. Because the home that we lived in was in the middle of a development, and the chances of people driving by my house to buy my lemonade were probably slim and none. Yeah. So my brother, who was younger than I am, would tail along with me, and I would get him to holler, lemonade, Kool-Aid, and we would pull the wagon around my development of homes. And we had a sign on the table that had the price, and we had a cooler filled with ice, and we had the cups. And I would stop and serve somebody, get my money, and go on to the next. So in guerrilla marketing, you don't wait for people to find you. You have to figure out who your target audience is and have a presence in front of them.
Right. And I saw you had a copy of Crush It in front of you when I came in. That's my graduate of our North High School class of 94 and 95, which is a great book. I've read that. And then I've read, I think, two or three of his books. He really nails it, and he's truly guerrilla marketing. And he's out there making it happen.
This is Levinson you're referring to?
No.
What I had with me was a note about J. Conrad Levinson, who is the father of guerrilla marketing.
Okay. The author I was thinking about.
Who are you thinking of?
His father owns a wine store, and he took the wine cellar business over and wrote that in another book. Maybe there's two Crush It's out there.
Oh, that I don't know. You'll have to enlighten me on that.
Yeah, I'm just looking to Crush It by...
What did I have here? I had...
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Oh, yes. Well, you know what? This article... is not about him, but that happens to be a title on this article that I was quoting from on today, which was 50 of the greatest marketing tips you'll find anywhere.
Wow.
But that Gary, yeah, I've been to his store over in Springfield.
Okay.
I think it's in Springfield. It's awesome.
His wine store?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been there?
No, but I've listened to him speak, and he speaks at a couple of the real estate conventions, which is where I'm interested in them. And he sort of had, his father had sort of a local wine business, not quality wine, just wine for that dinner. And he took it upstairs and made an internet company out of it. I guess crushed it, as he puts it. And very interesting philosophy.
Well, I was in the retail store. I was given a coupon to get a bottle of wine or two from his place. And I walked in, and there are cases and cases of wine everywhere. I mean, it's a big store.
Okay.
And I said to the sales associate, I said, do you ship all of this wine out to people? She said, oh, no, we sell it all here.
Wow.
I was so blown away by how much I saw, just in cases, waiting to be opened.
It's amazing how many people drink wine. You know, it's something I was a beer drinker until I was about 50, and then I switched over and never had a beer in my life and got into wine. Now I'm a total teetotaler, so I don't support either of the two passions, but I love my wine. I mean, it was great, and it's pretty hard not to know somebody who enjoys wine.
Well, we do. In fact, I was just listening to another radio station on my way here today, and they were saying that most people have at least a drink a day, and usually it's a wine.
Yeah.
But I've been buying wine being shipped to me.
Okay.
And the cost per bottle I hate to say this, is less than what I would pay for a bottle of wine in a liquor store.
That's amazing. So where do you buy the wine from, like a wine club?
It's like, well, they say that they're not a club, but it's called Splash Wines.
Okay.
I'm giving them a plug right now.
There you go.
But I'm paying between $5.75 and maybe $6.50 for a bottle of wine. And my husband and I usually go cheap. We buy the real big bottles.
Yeah.
But what I'm paying is the equivalent of a big bottle, but it's being delivered to my home.
Right.
So I get 15 to 18 bottles to ship to me at one time.
Wow.
In a box.
And what's your favorite?
And my favorite, I drink red wine more than white.
Okay.
But as far as the brand is concerned,
they're
just mixed.
Yeah, the type of wine.
And
is it red? Is it like
it's red, dry.
Okay. You like the
and the brands, I'm not familiar with them, but they're all good. I have no problem with any of them. And it's like an adventure. Every time you open up another bottle, you know, I get to taste it. And there's certain ones that we enjoy a little bit more than others, but they're all good.
Wonderful.
My husband, I buy mixed cases, so he likes the red. He likes the white, and I drink the red.
Okay. I like them both. I mean, my favorite red was Merlot. They used to call me Joe Merlot.
Is that so?
My favorite white, I think, was a Pinot, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I didn't like a Chardonnay. It had too much of a cask taste to it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like the wood taste. But thoroughly enjoyed it. Just my sugar was building up. The doctor said, why don't we try kicking off the wine for 6 weeks and see if it stayed? And it did.
It did.
And
so
I never had another glass.
Was that both red and white that you were drinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's sugar in there. I mean, there's sugar in there.
Well, my husband likes the Pinot Grigio, and I like Merlot, and I like some of the bottles I buy in this case just say red.
Wow.
You know, it's just red wine.
And we have people that make their own. Like, I'm trying to think what her name is. Victoria and her mother make wine with the grape finale.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but they're Italian, so the wine to them is different. They make a family wine. And other people are... I have a couple of friends that are out of California, sort of wine snoots. I mean, it's like if it wasn't this, they wouldn't drink it. I'm saying I wouldn't know the difference.
I wouldn't know the difference. You know, as long as it's not bitter and as long as it's dry, I don't like sweet wine.
Right. But wonderful. So let's talk about marketing. The first question you said is, what is marketing? I think a pretty good description. You took your product to the market versus waiting for your market to come to the product.
That's exactly right. And marketing is a big umbrella,
right?
And there's a lot that falls under it. And I happened to mention in my program an hour ago that when I teach classes in marketing, I say to people, what's the first word that comes to mind when you hear the word marketing? And usually it's advertising is either the first or second word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last thing I recommend. I believe that you need to build awareness for your business using guerrilla marketing tactics so that when you do spend money, in the form of advertising, whatever that might be. It could be in the media. It could be on a radio advertisement. But once you do spend money, it'll kick in. The awareness will be there. But people that spend money right out of the gate are going to have to spend more because nobody ever heard of them.
Yep.
So you build that undercurrent of awareness. When I was in Nashville a couple weeks ago, I was a speaker at the American Small Business Development Center's annual conference,
mm-hmm.
and there were 140 presentations, and I was able to go over the course of 3 days. So I was able to go to hear other speakers,
right.
And several people made the comment, if you're not findable online, you don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So you have today, to be findable, you have to have a website, that's for sure. You don't have a choice. From there, you're taking you look at the social media. And blogging is another thing. Video marketing is very important.
Right.
But you have to understand who your target audience is so that your message attracts the kind of people that you're best suited to serve who need one and can afford what you have to offer. So investing in technology is critical, but you also need the offline things. Again, with the understanding of who your target is, who you want to reach out to.
I know my market, because I sell real estate, is typically 35, might go a little younger, but the people under 35 don't have enough money to buy a house yet. They're still paying off college.
That's true.
So it's usually 35 to 65, which is where the person makes their last lifestyle adjustment.
Yeah.
So if I go, it's interesting, because if you go to Zillow, and you go above 65, they must think you die at 66. They don't. You can't go 65 to 70 or 75. It's like 65 and older. I try, because I have like four different quadrants, all two of them blend together. One is the first-time buyer. It's half our business. And a first-time buyer is very important in real estate because it kicks off about free sales. The person that sells them buys another one. The person that sells them buys them. The third person probably downsizes or right-sizes. Then there's the trade-up or right-size buyer. And then there's the 55-plus buyer. So what I try to do, and I use Kate Roa in doing my marketing for social media, is I try to run an advertisement on each one of these items in my newsletter, not an advertisement, but a column, and then we take a look at who's looking at it from age group, age, general age quadrant, or from geographic location. And I can tell from the information that they put into their browser when they signed up where they live. I can actually go down to the street address if I wanted to spend that kind of money and look their email up, but people don't like to get bugged like that. I can tell where they live geographically, how old they are, what their college education level is, and from what else they look at, what their general interest level is. And then go back and say, hey, look, I'm getting on my first-time buyers a lot of college grads, mostly female, out of the Middlesex County area. I can go to Middlesex County and advertise to that group and get them interested in what I'm selling. Because we like to say, it's very interesting in real estate, that I can tell you who's going to buy your house, I just don't know what their name is. And I can tell you that by who's bought houses like you in the area before you put yours on the market, and through my experience. Like I when I sold Victoria's grandmother's house, I said, a hunter's going to buy this house. You're out in the middle of the woods. You're on 4 acres. Somebody wants to shoot deer in their backyard. He's going to buy this house. I just don't know who his name is. So that's who.
That is awesome. I love that. What you're sharing with me.
Well, and then Kate, who I think is a wonderful person. Kate Roa is in internet marketing here in Hunterdon County. Has taken it to the next level with me because she manages my newsletter. She manages the articles. She gets me up to the line. Like, my newsletter goes out this weekend, so she's saying I need two more articles written before the weekend to cover these items. And then we track who's coming to them and what is working and what's not working. I do some other marketing. Like, just recently, I went to HealthQuest, which has 50, almost 5,000 people as members, but about 1,800 families. Most of them are family groups. And I'm now doing marketing on the Jumbotrons at HealthQuest and Diamond Nation. I'm in their newsletter. I'm on their site. And to me, that's institutional marketing. In other words, thinking about real estate, think about Coldwell Banker and Joe Peters. Not necessarily are you going to call me from seeing my ad. It's going to be more of, I'm thinking about real estate. This guy looks like he knows what he's talking about. But most of the people I find through one-on-one contacts at open houses or through contacts that came in through one way, shape, or form over the internet, saw my site and have a question, and we just get to talking.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a great example. We just hired somebody, senior guy in our office, and he does a lot. He says he gets most of his business off of Facebook. And I'm saying, well, do you have a blog? He says, no, I don't need one. I said, how can you not need a blog? Anything that's on Facebook should come from your blog. It should bring you back to your blog. That's your credentials. That's where you become the industry expert to these people. And he doesn't have a concept of it. And I'm saying, whatever, he's still doing enough business to pay the bills. That's his way of doing it. But he probably could do a lot better.
Yeah.
So what I do is I have a broadcast calendar for 7 days a week. I only put out one blog post a day. And on Monday, I put out an industry article. On Tuesday, I put out a news article. On Wednesday, I put a local news article. And I go through the week and do that and try to hit, in the process of a month, those four quadrants, first-time buyer, trade-ups, 55-pluses, right-sizers. And then we measure. And we see which one's bringing me back. And that's where we focus. That's where we focus our advertising on. The other thing I do from a marketing viewpoint, it's just me, It's like, if you ever go into ShopRite, there's a guy named Archie. The guy's 94 years old.
I've seen him.
Archie fought in the Boer War before I was born, and I was born in 1943. That's how old Archie is, okay? That, to me, is amazing. He loves his job.
Yes, he does.
Whether it's selling lobsters or peaches or shrimp or whatever's on sale. Archie loves his job. Joe loves his job.
Yeah.
I love talking to people. I love informing people as to what's going on. I go to 9 or 10 different associations and either speak or participate on a monthly basis. I cover Hunterdon and Somerset, so I'm over in Basking Ridge, Warren. I'm in Somerset County Chamber. I'm in the Hunterdon Chamber. And I do what I like. And you know what? Business finds me.
That's one of the things that you that you've shared here is what I recommend, and that is you should choose no more than 3 or 4 vertical targets.
Right.
And that's what you have four. And so that's where you've identified where your business is going to come from, and then you then approach them through your various tactics.
Absolutely.
Which is great. And so many people that I talk to who are starting a business, or even if they've been in business for a while, are not clear on exactly who their target audience is. So they do what you might call throwing it against the wall to see what sticks. And nothing's working.
Nothing's working.
It's not working for them. So you've done, I'm impressed.
But, well, Kate says it best. She says, I've never worked with somebody who so crystally clear knows what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And I do. And it's not because I'm smart. It's because I have a lot of experience of making mistakes. So as a result of that, I understand what it is. I understand the 4 markets I want to go after.
Yeah.
They all blend together, but they're different. And I understand how to talk to them. And I also limit myself to Hunterdon County. Some people limit themselves just to parts of Hunterdon County. It's kind of hard because what we're witnessing in Hunterdon County is that we're getting smaller. We're losing 1% to 2% of our population each year. That's always happened, but we used to have people coming west, so it sort of replenished itself. The attrition value is not happening anymore. As far as replenishment, we're just losing people. So I've moved over into Somerset County, where I was always prevalent in marketing, and I should say in Branchburg, Bridgewater, and Franklin, Hillsborough areas. And I've just gone a little further west. I sort of annexed Warren and Watchung, and then the next finger to Hills. So you can't be an expert everywhere, but that's not too big of a market to be an expert in.
Yeah.
And what I try to do is share information without being pushy. And then I'll give you a good example. Hopefully she's listening out there. Kathy Smith. Kathy moved down to shore recently, and I had talked in front of her once a year and a half earlier. And I get a phone call, and that's from Kathy, and she said, I heard you speak a year and a half ago about real estate. I was so totally impressed I kept your card because I knew I'd be selling my house. I'm wondering if you would list it. I did. We sold it, and she's a happy customer. And there's a bunch of other Kathys out there that have heard me speak, and their names may be George or Marty or whatever, but I will hear from them in the future as well because it's planting seeds. And
that's what it is.
That's where it
works. Yep.
And so many people are very, very, very busy chopping trees down because this business coming in, I'm going to sort of harvest it and reap the rewards. But you have to take time out and plant some new seeds, or you're not going to have anything to do pretty soon.
That's exactly right. And I've run into many business owners who have not planted those seeds. They haven't turned what I call suspects into prospects, into customers. They get so caught up with the current clients and also selling to people who will eventually buy, but they are not filling their pipeline by doing the marketing that you're doing. And if you don't fill that pipeline, you're out of business eventually.
There's been several times in between jobs. I grew up in IT and retail, and then I went over to selling back to retail IT. So I worked for Oracle and SAP. That the job would stop, and you're still going. So you'd become a consultant. And it's very easy to work and do the consulting work, but consulting work doesn't last forever. You have to spend about 40% of your time finding the next job while you're working, or you're not going to have a next job. You're going to have a long vacation unplanned. And I learned through that you've got to be general enough that you can, don't put what you do specifically on your business card. Put your name and maybe your general scope of big field on it. And when somebody says, well, I'm in automation, but I'm in a hospital, well, it just so happens I'm in hospitals too, and here's what I've done.
Yeah.
So many people just don't get it.
Yeah.
And I think from listening to you in the past and from my own experience, when you do find somebody who understands it, you sort of appreciate it. And when I find, and I have about 8 different people I work with, I have one fellow who does just my WordPress infrastructure. I have another fellow who does my technology. I have another person who does just my graphics. I have Kate who just does my social media. And each one of those people I spend in the course of a year some consulting money with, and most of them I spend some money a month with. And together I have a loosely amalgamated staff that serves my purpose. And some go, some come, but it works for me.
It sounds very, very good. You're well organized, and they're doing work that first of all, you don't have time to do it, and you probably don't have the expertise in some of these areas. You're hiring that service and that value.
The other thing, I love technology because I grew up in it, but I have so many people say, wow, this is fun. We should do this full time. I said, and we'd starve to death. That's not where you make money.
Yeah.
You know, now that you understand what we need to do, there's somebody to work for it a lot cheaper than you. You could go out and sell your services and get twice as much done. But most people don't grasp that. Most people are not well organized, number one, and they're not business savvy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to find somebody that really gets it. And I'm not saying I really get it, but I understand it. And when I do see somebody that gets it, I appreciate them and tend to work with them. So your second point said, let's talk about communications tips. What communications tips come to mind?
Well, there are a couple things. First of all, when I critique websites and brochures, quite often they are written about the writer, about the business. And they start out by I have critiqued information where every paragraph, every sentence begins with "we do this and we do that," or "our this" or "our that."
Right.
When you see that, you know that those articles are written about the company and not about the reader, or if they're spoken words, it's the listener. So I get them to change those sentences around and get rid of the word "we" as the first word in the sentence. And quite often you can turn the idea around, get rid of the "we" that's in that sentence or that paragraph, and now you can turn it around so that you're speaking or writing for the reader. Mm-hmm. And the two most important words are "you" and "your."
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones that drives me nuts is they'll say, "We are very proud of us, such and such." I'll say, "Well, I'm sure, I would hope you're proud. Why is that? That's what you're here
who
to do."
Cares?
But people talk about themselves. But the reader wants they're reading it with the idea, well, what's in it for me to do business with this provider?
I was always taught that you don't sell the benefit; you sell the benefit is to this reader. So if your widget, let's say it's your telephone, rings twice as loud as the next telephone, that means nothing to somebody. Do you say, so this means you're never going to miss a call? Because, you know, whatever the situation may be.
That's right.
It's like selling a sizzle.
Yeah. And the way you just stated it is what I teach. In other words, a feature without a benefit has no value.
Right.
And you connect the feature with the benefit by saying two words, "which means." And those two words, "which means," followed by the benefit, builds up to the grand finale. And that's what people buy. They buy what's in it for them, and they do not buy the feature. So if the answer or if the response will be, "so what," the people have not heard the benefit.
Right.
That makes sense. So people buy what's in it for them. It's like you hear the age-old story about people go to a hardware store to buy a drill. They're not buying the drill. They're buying the hole that the drill is going to make.
Yep.
That's what they're buying.
Right.
So that's something. In fact, I met a woman at when I was speaking at a pet industry event, because that's where I've spent my 40 years of my business experience has been in the pet industry.
Oh, wow.
And I was speaking at an event, and I worked the crowd before speaking, and I said to this gal that walked into the room, I said, "What do you do for a living?" She said, "I make it easy to own a pet." And I said, really? Hmm. Wow. What do you tell me more about it. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, that's what you want people to say to you. Say, right. Ooh, tell me more. And she actually followed the template that I recommend, which was that she explained that pet parents work long hours, yep, and their pets are home alone every day and they feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they get home at the end of a busy day and they discover that there's no food in the cupboard. Mm. So the gal said, we have a home delivery service of pet food and supplies, which means that pet parent can come home at the end of the busy day knowing there's ample food in the cupboard and, wow, they can enjoy their evening at home with their pet. And that's where she said, I make it easy to own a pet. I always tell my students and my clients, if you can remember that statement, that will trigger the reminder to present in a way that grabs people's attention.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So it's like John Hadley is a friend of mine who teaches business people how to find jobs. And he says, I help people find the job of their dreams, to land the jobs of their dreams.
Yep. Well, and that's, I worked with Linda Friedman on presenting your pitch.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, Kate was there that night, and I'm trying to remember who else was in it. But it really worked out well because the challenge was, who is it you're selling to?
Yeah.
And I said just what I said earlier, 35 to 65, but half of my business is in the 35 to 45 because that's the first-time buyers, or the millennials have finally saved enough money and got enough credit and have worked on a job long enough to buy a house. She said, so that's who you should be addressing your pitch to. So my pitch has always been, I help people achieve their goals and dreams through residential real estate. I've expanded it to say, and how do I do that? First of all, I use good old-fashioned communication so that we're inside each other's head before we even get started.
Yeah.
Secondly, I meet where you want to talk to me on it, whether it's telephones or it's texting or it's email or if it's mail, whatever way you want to. So we're understanding each other. We're talking at the level you want to talk at. And then I'm going to use advanced marketing techniques to get the message out and bring the customers in.
All right.
That's what makes me different. And I tip my hat to Linda because although she lost herself along the way in making that presentation, I got it. And after talking to Kate twice more after that, we put that amended pitch together, which,
yeah,
says, not only do I help people achieve their goals and dreams, here's how I do it.
Yeah.
And so many people don't want to be emailed anymore. They want to be texted. I don't like texting because it's very hard to get an audit trail on a text. If you want to go back and see what was said. But when my customers want to text, or if it's another vendor that wants to text, or another realtor that wants to text, I text. What the heck?
Well, yeah, you have to do business your customer's way.
That's it. Meet them where they're at.
Absolutely.
Understand what they want to do.
That's
meet
right.
them where they're at and show them how you can do more through advanced marketing.
Yeah.
So, tips for entrepreneurial success. That was another subject you gave me.
Well, I think the first one is that people do need to write some kind of a business plan, and mm-hmm. Many times they don't do it because they want to bypass that and just rush right into the business that they have their heart set on. Having the passion for a business is important, but you have to have a plan. So I recommend that they write some kind of a business plan just so that they have their ducks in a row, they're crossing their T's and dotting their I's. That's number one. Also knowing who knowing the industry inside and out. People must know their industries before they even launch because they, in the eyes of the target audience, they're the experts. They need to know the business well. And that is connecting to the industry through trade events, publications, really engaging and getting experience as much as possible. Some people want to start a business and they don't have a clue. Had a lady come to me one time. She wanted to buy a bakery. I said, why? She said, well, I want to serve exotic coffee, and I thought having a nice bakery goods to sell with it. I said, well, you don't need a bakery to sell coffee.
Right.
And she had no idea that bakers get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to start cooking, start baking. I don't think she ever bought one. So knowing the industry well, also knowing the competition and who's out there. And quite often in a business plan, you'll have perhaps three competitors noted in the business plan. And I don't think you should be afraid of a competitor per se. You need to know where they're coming from, how long they've been in business, Because people that have been around for a long time are very vulnerable.
Right.
And they leave the door open for a newer, younger company to come in the door. And then also to know what are your it's called a SWOT analysis. What are your strengths and weaknesses? Mm-hmm. And you can apply a SWOT analysis to a competitor as well. But what do you do well? What do you need to work on? And this is where your lifelong learning and taking courses comes into play. Mm-hmm. And then another step would be to have a message that will resonate with the audience that you want to reach out to, and knowing your target audience, exactly who are they, where do they hang out,
right.
And having a message that's going to reach that target. And it's all about them and how it's presented. And people are not clear on target audiences. I'll ask people why somebody should do business with them, and they struggle in telling me why somebody should even do business with them. It's amazing. They have not thought this through. It's really, really interesting.
Get their own business for themselves.
Yeah.
And their livelihood depends on it.
Yeah. And they haven't thought it through. I also think that a lot of business owners, we're not born to be marketers or salespeople. You need to take courses in marketing, and you need to take courses in selling. Years ago, people usually just wore one hat. Today, mm-hmm. you have to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, over the years, a marketer is not a good salesperson and vice versa. Today, you have to be both. And people just don't think, they don't like to sell, and yet if they don't make a sale, they don't put food on the table.
Right.
So it's a lot of people struggle with selling.
I watch this Shark Tank a lot, and only because I won't watch a sitcom, and sometimes that's the only thing on. And it's amazing how quick they can pick up that the person is failing because they can't sell.
That's right.
A selling skill.
Yeah.
And they zero right in on it. And the other thing they zero in on is that they don't have a focused business plan a lot.
Right.
I saw one last night where the guy had... and I knew Mark Cuban would rise to the occasion because he likes things that are action-based because of his sports background. And the guy had a high-intensity challenge theme park where you would go out and you'd climb fences and you would jump through tires and you would do a lot of other things. And he also had a business that spun off of it, which should have never been brought up. He should have focused on the one thing. And I said, well, is that included in what you're trying to sell me? Oh, no, that's a different business. And the whole thing got off to this different business because he raised it. We have somebody in our leads group that will get up and talk 90% about something. And by the way, I also write ebooks. It's like, nice to know, but what does that have to do with your message? I just forgot what you said for the 90%.
Exactly. I've seen this in the networking groups I've been to, for sure.
Yeah.
And so, those people are not around anymore.
No. They shouldn't be there to start with. I think one of the things, and I talked to Kate about this, is 90% of the people you meet at a business group like Chamber of Commerce are between jobs. And they're not really sure what they want to do, so a lot of them become personal coaches or financial advisors.
Yeah.
Now, you get a financial advisor like Joe Patton and his associates. These are accredited financial advisors.
Absolutely.
You get a financial advisor that's been doing it for 6 months because he's laid off. This is probably not the guy you want advice from.
I would agree.
But the life coaches are the one that get me. A life coach that's reading a book while they're talking to you about what they're talking about, it's like, I could read that book. Why do I need you?
Yeah.
I need somebody to critique me and tell me how you would do it differently if you were me and what the results would be. Talk about the difference, and I think a lot of our readers probably don't know it. What is the difference between marketing and sales?
Marketing, it's messaging marketing can be many things. It's your body language, it's your logo, it's your tagline. Marketing is a huge umbrella, but it builds trust, builds awareness, gives people reasons to do business with you, gets them to do something.
Yep.
And it also validates the buying decision, which that's one step in marketing that people don't realize. How many people have made a sale to a customer and then they never talk to the customer again?
Mm-hmm.
So keeping in touch with selling is actually building the relationships with them and getting helping people solve their problems.
Right.
And then getting the order and going back to keep that relationship going, because there's a lifetime value of a customer, so it's keeping up that relationship. So marketing is out there. The messaging is getting people to do something, but the selling actually builds that relationship.
That relationship, that's very
well put. To solve their problems.
You know, I worked retail shows in a Javits Center, and I remember my manager coming over to me and saying, Joe, I've got somebody in the booth I want you to meet. I said, okay. So I asked them their name first. Name is important. And the kind of company they're with. And how big is your company? Well, why does that matter? I said, well, our solution sells for about $1.5 million. Is that something? Oh, no, we're much too small for that. I said, see, I'm just trying to share with you. This is not a solution that's for everybody. And I'm trying to, what we call it, qualifying. But
right.
People get insulted with that. Qualify whether or not they can buy this. The other thing that I've always said, marketing hands out the brochure and sales gets the appointment for lunch. Because you've got to develop the relationship, just as you said. And
yeah.
That relationship could be 2 years before they make a buying decision.
Oh, absolutely. There have been years, times that it's taken me 5 years to get the first order.
Right.
And some, you know, there's a lot of elements that have to be in place to get an order.
Yep.
And timing is one of them.
Yep.
Maybe they want to buy your stuff, but it's not. They're not ready.
Right.
So if you don't keep in touch with them through your marketing outreach, they're going to go someplace else when that need does, in fact, come to fruition.
Right.
So, yeah.
And a lot of times you're not talking to the person that says yes. You're talking to the person that can say no. And they're a decision supporter, not a decision maker. They have some technical reason why this won't work for you, but you need to the person that can say, why can't we buy this? And they're looking to say yes, and that's the and you've got to get to them.
That's right. That really what you just said is a quote that I give people: don't take no from a person who can't say yes.
same thing.
I love that statement. And there were times that I was giving a sales pitch to somebody, uh-huh. and it turned out that they were the wrong person. They were not truthful.
Right.
And told me they were had positioned to buy that product, but they were not. So,
yeah.
you have to be able to ferret that out too in selling. It's almost
a
challenge,
because if you burn that bridge, that may be the only bridge you've got going.
Yeah.
What I always find is ask them a question they can't answer, and let them introduce you to the person that can answer it. And now expand your scope.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of times you're talking to a gatekeeper. Could even be a secretary.
Absolutely.
But a gatekeeper, and that gatekeeper's job is to eliminate most of the calls that come in.
Yeah.
And they're going to take the brochure. They're probably not going to commit. If you don't talk to the decision maker, they're never going to convince the
decision. That's right.
You need to get to that next level. So we call that getting to the yes. Same thing.
Getting to you, right.
But
right.
In effect, you've got to set up how does the decisions get made in the company.
That's right.
Who will be on that decision committee? And you've got to make sure you've covered them all, and you've got to cover them separately before you bring them together.
Yeah.
And I do that even internally. We're doing a project where I've got four people working on something, and I sell it to each one of them. Then I get the group together to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
And then we take it to the next level and add phase two to it. You can't get four people that have first time looking at a proposal in a room at the same time and get a yes from all of them. It
yeah.
just doesn't work that
yeah.
way. Human nature. So what time? We're at 4:48, so we have about 8 minutes left. We had value of networking and places to go. I skipped over how does your business experience help in mentoring and teaching. So which one of those would you like to talk about?
I like to talk about why I do what I do.
That's
and how I got there.
Okay.
Because I started out in business as a secretary.
Wow.
And one day I went home from work and I discovered that the sun shines on in midweek. You know, sitting in an office somewhere with no windows, mm-hmm. you don't know that. So I decided to get a job actually with Xerox, and I was a customer trainer. So I had to travel during the week to go see customers to teach
wow.
them how to use Xerox machines. And then I was taught to, so I was taught to be a trainer. And then I became a supervisor of trainers. And then I thought, well, heck, they're hiring all these young men out of, this is years ago, because I'm also in the same senior category that you're in.
Okay.
But I noticed that they were hiring all these young men out of college to teach them how to sell Xerox machines when I already knew administrative procedures. I knew the machines and I knew how to teach people to use them. Why not? Why can't I sell them?
Right.
So I became the first woman selling for Xerox in the state of New Jersey.
Wow.
This is a long time ago. But I had to prove that I was qualified to be in the sales department.
As a woman, it was probably twice as hard.
And but I got in, and I was at the top of my sales team, but I decided to change my life. Because I wanted to, we bought an old house to restore. I wanted mm-hmm. to start a family. And anyway, I discovered that I couldn't retire after all. So my next door neighbor said he'd buy a truckload of dog food, and I said I'd help him sell it.
Okay.
So here I was using my administrative skills. I was using the selling skills that I learned, and I had to learn the pet industry. Which I did very quickly, and mm-hmm. I figured out that I had to figure out who my target audience was so mm-hmm. that I could sell the dog food, and we were very successful in doing that. After a few years, he and I split up, and I rolled over into pet supplies, going from pet food into pet supplies. But the point was I learned selling, I learned marketing skills, I learned how to identify the target audience, I learned the importance of keeping in touch with people on a regular basis, networking within the industry. These are all things that I learned early on. So by the time we get into the year 2000, I had all these years of experience, and I started teaching courses, and I had to study my topics, marketing and selling, and I've added to my curriculum, to my list of topics. I teach personal branding. I teach how to attract and keep good employees. I have quite a list of topics that I can talk and teach on. And so from there, I started doing consulting in the pet industry as well, speaking in the industry, and then outside of the pet industry. So I have Animal Brands is my rep age, is my agency, which I no longer repping anymore. I actually work with 100 companies as a rep. But now I'm just doing speaking and consulting in the pet industry, and my name of the business is Animal Brands, which I've had for 40 years. And then I started Rustmore Mentoring Group just to do speaking, consulting, and speaking outside the industry. But all those people that I've dealt with, thousands of people, either through my classes or through one-on-one counseling, I've learned so much that I can take that knowledge and apply it to so many industries and so many business people.
Right.
That comes with, if I will say, with age. These are things you don't learn when you're young.
No.
It's the culmination of all those experiences that enable me to provide a value to people that are in need of information and advice and direction.
Well, Vicki, this has been wonderful. If somebody wanted to call and talk to you, either as advice or as a marketing opportunity, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, they can call me. My phone number at the office is 908-832-9544. My email address is vmorgan@russmore.com. It's russmore.com. And I have to say my website needs to be fixed up, but it's russmore.com is my website.
R-U-S-S-M-O-R.com. Where did Russmore come from? Sounds like
it's a contraction. It's actually my husband and his father's name, middle name, Russell and Morgan. I thought of it. I don't know, in a hurry.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
But per se. But
well, great. And this. I'm Joe Peters, and I do real estate across Hunterdon and Somerset. I'm going to play my commercial one more time before we go. We do have another minute or two. Talk about your education. Where did you go to school at?
I graduated from Centenary College when it was a 2 years women's college, a very elite school at the time.
It's up near Hackettstown?
It's in Hackettstown, and that's where I learned administrative and business.
Wonderful.
That's my background. Otherwise, I'm a lifelong learner. I'm a certified guerrilla marketing coach.
Okay.
I earned a certification in marketing and sales through an ISO 9000 program,
mm-hmm.
and I've also been taught at Xerox, they taught the PSS, professional selling skills. I retook the course about 12 or 15 years ago, and I've incorporated all the things I've learned plus what I've gained from the knowledge of those courses into the programs and the counseling that I do for business. So I'm from Harvard on the highway.
Okay. Interesting analogy. It's interesting. I attended Rutgers, never did really graduate, got all my credits in marketing, half of them in accounting, but I had five kids, and I was going in the evening, and I took one of those semesters off and never got back and finished. You know, I got to the point where you had to take all these and non-electives.
Yeah.
I think coming through the School of Hard Knocks is a good way to supplement your education, but you need some education to start with. And then you constantly need additional education. It never stops.
It never stops.
No.
It's true. It's true. And, in fact, when I teach and do counseling, people tell me they learn information from me they've never heard from anybody else, and that's my thing. I need to differentiate myself, and my knowledge is just I come from a different perspective,
right.
And it's very, very helpful.
Well, and I think coming from that different perspective is what they're looking for, because if they heard the blah, 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 like Charlie Brown's teacher, it's like they've heard it. They've heard it. They want to know what's in it for them. How can they adapt it to their lifestyle? How can they be successful
exactly.
by using it?
Yeah.
And if you make that difference, you're going to, in effect, find an audience that's there for life. The other thing that somebody at the Somerset Chamber said to me, which I thought was really great, which was, I do a newsletter. I do one for Somerset, one for Hunterdon, and in the first half of it, I tell them what's happening. Okay, we sold 477 houses, the old average house, 4. But the second half, I tell them why it's happening, why we're selling houses at that rate, why we're selling houses at that price, why we're not selling houses. And the thing that I heard over in Somerset was, the person who knows what's happening will always have a job. The person who knows why will always be the boss.
Yeah, there
you go. And I said, you know what? I like that. I think it's very well put, because a lot of people can look at a situation and say, here's the way it should be. And very few people can look at a situation and say, here's the way it should be and here's how we're going to change it. Because it's pretty easy to see something that's broken and say it should be fixed. But if you can say, we need to do these 17 things to fix it, then you're clearly a different person. You understand it from a different perspective.
Right.
So I thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Next week, I'm going to do my real estate update, which will be why it's happening and what's happening. And then the week after that, I've got Marcia Glattman coming on to talk about fashion for 55-plus women. So I think that will
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. I met her in Somerset, and she just lost her husband in the last year, the poor thing. But she's dusting herself off and getting back on her feet. And when she approached me with this, I said, sure, our 55-plus are always looking to learn things. And now that I'm firmly in the middle of a 55-plus, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. So I'm going to put my commercial on one more time, and we will have our fellow in with his music show in about 4 minutes.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Well, to be clear,
through events that are under our control and not under our control, we don't have the votes.
Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy announcing the death of the latest GOP health care plan.
That's speaking to the leadership, speaking to the president. We've made the decision since we don't have the votes, we will postpone that vote.
Senator Lindsey Graham, one of the co-sponsors of the bill, told reporters that the legislation is going to be revisited after Republicans address the issue of tax reform. Polls showing more Americans are siding with President Trump in his battle against the National Football League. The president took another shot today at players who kneel during the national anthem.
And for people to disrespect that by kneeling during the playing of our national anthem, I think is disgraceful.
The president announcing today that he's going to be heading to hurricane-ravaged Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands on Tuesday of next week. He said it was the first day he could get in without disrupting relief efforts. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. Gold was $300 per ounce when I started buying. Today it's over $1,200. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. All those other firms are selling gold bullion. It's not rare, it's not proven, and they have a huge markup because they've commissioned salesmen. I have found the Uber of gold. This company, pre1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre1933.com is a wholesale of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. All conservatives understand the hole America's in. We owe $20 trillion in debt. We all know gold is the answer. It's our insurance policy. But now you can buy your gold wholesale, just like dealers, without commission salesmen involved. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com. You'll never buy gold from anyone else ever again.